This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast, and I'm joined by Jared Nunes. He's been on our podcast before. First time we've done a Zoom, though. Jared, welcome back. It's good to see your face. It's been a while since we've seen each other face to face. So, you know, first of all, congratulations on Big 12 championship. I mean, how did that feel? What were the emotions for you? You've been with this program as long as almost anybody, so I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Absolutely amazing. Wonderful. One of the best experiences I've ever had. For us to do it the way we did it, and obviously to do it in a place that is tough to, I mean, as anywhere in Morgantown, and the way our guys fought, and obviously coming off of what we came off of, and a tough road stretch. I mean, two of the toughest places to play in the country, Kansas and West Virginia, in a short turnaround. It was amazing. Our guys deserve it. The coaching staff deserves it. And it was just, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. It's one of the better college basketball games you'll find too. Just both teams making big shots.
Huge shots.
For Baylor to be down seven, I remember thinking, man, this is going to be a tough climb. Once we fell down seven and then we're able to get back, and I'm just a dramatic game. And you follow that up with a really good performance against Oklahoma State. And tomorrow's senior day, and we've got some great seniors to honor. And that's really the reason I wanted to have you on here, is just to talk about your relationship with Mark Vidal, Macy Oteague, Tristan Clark, what they've meant to the program, you know, what it's going to be like, you know, from an emotional standpoint tomorrow to see them play their last games at Baylor, you know, especially in the Farrell Center. Yeah. Just, talk about, all that's going through your mind with those three guys.
Well, I'll start with Tristan. You know, obviously we all know it's kind of been an unfortunate ending for Tristan.
Right.
Started off with, a great career, promising career. As a freshman and sophomore, played outstanding. Then he had the unfortunate injury. But, you know, the good thing about him is he still comes around. He's still real close with the guys. He's on track to get his degree.
Awesome.
And so, you know, I think he's still got some opportunities possibly in the future. Hopefully he can stay healthy. But he's just an unbelievable kid. Done a great job representing Baylor the right way. We've been blessed to have him. Obviously Mark Vidal, fifth year senior, man, it feels like he's been here forever. But just the things that he's accomplished, on the floor. I mean, all time winning this player. Isn't he the all time winningest player?
For
Big 12 games. And then, everything he's accomplished, helping us win our first Big 12 championship. And then have an opportunity tomorrow to go undefeated at home. Hopefully we can win that game tomorrow. So, everything he's accomplished, he's a winner, tough, gritty. He represents everything that we try to accomplish as a team the last couple of years when we've changed our identity of really being tough. Being gritty. So he represents all that. So he's been a blessing. And then Maceo, coming in, 3 years ago, redshirting, it's the things that he's done for our program have truly been a blessing and been amazing. He's changed our culture. He made it cool to be kind of a gym rat, a guy who just lives in the gym, works extremely hard, a leader on and off the floor. He's so mature, very, very intelligent, thinks the game. But just the things that he's done has been unmeasurable for us. And he's going to be a guy that we truly miss. We'll miss all our seniors, but just the impact he's had on our program this year has been tremendous. And not just this year, but throughout his career here at Baylor. So we've been blessed to have three great seniors. They've contributed to us having the success we've had. So it's been an honor to have them.
I think two of the most overlooked great traits about those two, Macy Oteague and Mark Vidal, is their interior passing. I've really noticed that this year. I mean, Mark's always been, you know, pretty good when he catches the ball inside and finding people, you know, with, you know, passes or kickouts, but Maceo, man, he's been terrific off drives and just being able to hit people with bounce passes or, you know, at the rim. I've really noticed, you know, he's improved so much in that area. I mean, he was not bad before that, but, he's, you know, he's become really, really good at that. What's, you know, as you think back on moments with those guys, do any special memories come to mind? Like Maceo, my memory would be hitting that, you know, step back three against Texas Tech last year. That's one. You know, Mark Vidal out rebounding Arizona by himself would be one that comes to mind. You know, Tristan Clark, I think, you know, that Iowa State game, the game he got injured, he was so big in that game, you know, as a, I think he was a sophomore that year. But are there any, what about you? Or what comes to mind?
Yeah, I think for me, the two ones for Maceo was obviously that step back shot that he hit that you mentioned was huge. And then just the way he played at Kansas last year.
Yeah.
For us to get our first win up there, not just him, but all of our guys. But I remember just the confidence he had, him and Davion. I mean, looking at his face and just his demeanor, I said, okay, this is different.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you just had a different feeling. And then just Mark, there's been so many, you know, where he's just, whether it's been loose balls, whether it's been, like you said, in the Arizona game where he out-rebounded everybody, just his grittiness and toughness, man. I mean, it's so many of those moments with him.
Block shot against Kamar Baldwin.
Yeah, block shot. Yes, absolutely. And then Tristan, I think the game that really stands out to me, which was, it was ironic because that was a game he got hurt.
Yeah.
Against Iowa State. And you're like, oh man, like he's kind of really coming into his own.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then he had the unfortunate injury after that. But those are the moments I think for each of those guys that really stood out to me.
Yeah. Well, I know the fan base always, I mean, we're enjoying this season and I think it's important to enjoy the ride each and every game that we've got left. And, and obviously we think we can win a national championship. We hope we win a national championship, but if we fall short of that, I think we just got to enjoy what a spectacular season this has been. Mm-hmm. As we look to the future, I know on the message boards, we love to ask about who's next. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's you know, assume that, you know, these seniors don't come back and we may lose a couple juniors also. As you look to the future, what have you seen as far as development? You know, are we going to be a team that, you know, primarily looks to Matthew Meyer and Adam Flagler and Jonathan for scoring next year, LJ Cryer? I mean, what do you see from a personnel standpoint?
Well, I think obviously the biggest strength, and we say it all the time, in our team is our bench, right? And the strength is in our numbers. So we've been fortunate to have a really, really good bench, you know, with Matt and Adam and John and even LJ, you know, getting minutes when he can. Now, obviously, you know, losing our seniors and anybody else that we may lose is going to be a lot to overcome.
Right.
But the good thing is we do have experience coming back. Yeah. We've got guys that are improving every single day. I mean, the great thing with LJ is he's playing against who I think are the four best guards in the country.
Yeah.
You've seen Matt really starting to come into his own. And he'll be a senior next year, which is great. And then you still have Flo returning.
Yep.
You have John coming back. Got a great freshman class coming in.
Yeah.
So it'll take some time, I think, to blend everybody together. And then you have Dane and Zach who are improving every day. Dane's doing a great job on his body. Adam Flagler, who's had some huge moments for us this year. You know, we'll be stepping into a bigger role next year. So, you know, the cupboard's definitely not bare.
Right.
And our guys are getting better. So it will take some time to gel and figure out some things. But, you know, we're excited and the guys are working hard. And I think that's what's great about our culture is, you know, all of our guys work.
Yep.
And so as long as they're improving and we don't stay stagnant and, you know, guys are, you know, living in the gym, wanting to get better. You know, we should be good.
Well, we've seen a glimpse of, you know, Jordan Turner and Zach Loveday, but no
Jordan
one
too. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, Jordan. But Dane, as far as what strengths he brings to the table, I think we've had some podcasts where we've asked about him. But what have you seen from a development standpoint? Is he a guy that is able to, you know, switch and cover guards a little bit like Jonathan can, or is that something he needs to improve on?
Well, first I want to go back and talk about Jordan, because Jordan actually has really, really improved.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gotten stronger, his ability to get to the basket. So I apologize for not mentioning him, because he's doing really, really well. But Dane, his biggest thing, and we just talked to him, me and Coach Peterson actually just talked to him today. He's really, really improved his body, which is going to help him, because he's got great hands. He's got really good footwork. He's great around the rim. Now, you know, Ashley, but college basketball has changed to where your big men have to be able to guard on the perimeter, right? Got to be able to switch, got to be able to stay in front.
Right.
So he needs to continue to improve his lateral quickness, which is what he knows and what we're working on. Needs to improve on his core, because I think his core will help him move and help him get up and contest shots. So he's working on those things. His natural ability is very, very good.
Right.
He can score on the low block. He can face up. So defensively and just footwork is where we need to improve, and him just being in the stance. And, we're really going to work on that this spring. So I think he'll be ready.
And speaking of that, you know, Flo has been such a surprise in that area, being able to move his feet pretty well when he gets stuck on guards. And, you know, there was a video, I think Jake McGee had put out, where it showed all the, you know, 34 seconds of picks that he set, where he sealed his man, allowing our guards to get to the rim for uncontested layups. You know, Drew has said that he's an elite pick setter, that Jonathan's elite pick setter. Are you seeing that from Dane as well? Or
when Dane sets a screen, it's like you better call it out, because I mean, he's big, he's wide. I mean, at times I worry that he's gonna hurt somebody just because he's got such a big, large, wide body, and he sets screens and he sets good ones.
Right.
So I think between Flo and John and him, we got some of the most elite screen setters in the country. Yeah, I think that's an area offensively where he's very, very good. He needs to learn how to roll out quicker on ball screens, like John and Flo have the ability to do, and he'll get there.
Right.
But yeah, as far as screen setting, I mean, he's elite, elite, elite.
What does Flo need to do to really take the next step in his development? Like from my vantage point, I see that. Sometimes he doesn't use his wingspan as effectively as he could, you know, contesting shots, bothering shots. Seems like he's gotten better as the year's gone along, you know, in that regard. And then the other thing is, I think he gets knocked off his pins a little bit too easily.
Yeah.
So are those two of the areas that he really needs to improve in?
For sure. For sure. Just his balance and just his ability to finish at the rim.
Right.
And he does finish well. I mean, I think he shoots a good percentage at the rim when he's finishing, but just being able to finish with both hands, like you said, not getting pushed off his balance, keeping the ball high, all things he knows, but just has to continue to get better at that and rep it out.
Right.
And he's actually made strides, and I think this spring and summer, he'll make even bigger strides, and we're going to need him to, as far as next year.
I was texting with, one of the diehard basketball fans today about LJ Cryer. And I said, you know, LJ is quick and probably as fast as, I mean, maybe as fast as Davion, right?
Like,
I think that's what's going to surprise people when they see him unleashed, so to speak, is that he's got that Davion type burst. Will he bring, I mean, obviously Davion's a bigger body and a defensive, it's going to be hard to replace. You can bring in anybody. It's going to be hard to replace Davion's defense, but I mean, from a standpoint of just being able to do some of the things Davion can do from an offensive standpoint, be able to get into traffic, kick out, you know, make open threes. I mean, LJ's got that, you know, he brings that to the table, right?
Yeah. Yeah. his number one thing outside of him shooting the ball is his ability to get in the paint with his speed.
Right.
Right. And I think once, you know, experience will help, you know, there's no better teacher than experience. So I think once he can get out there and figure out how to use his speed is to his advantage, that will help. On both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
He's improved on defensively guarding the ball, but I think with his speeds and his ability to anticipate, he could be a really, really good defender. Saying he's going to be as good as Davion, I don't know if that's fair to him to say that.
Yeah, right.
But I think he could be an elite defender.
Right.
I think he can be a guy that can get in the paint and make plays for others, and that's something that we've been talking to him about, and he's really been improving on that.
Yeah.
I mean, he can shoot it as well as anybody, but
– yeah.
I think his future is really, really bright, and he loves to work at it. His work ethic is amazing, unlike the other guards we've had. So I think his future is bright.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of Jordan Turner and Zach Loveday, from a strength standpoint, I know that was one of their major goals, was to get stronger, but you've seen that with Jordan. He's gotten a lot stronger, able to absorb contact better. Yes. And
And Zach too, you know, Zach is, you know, his frame is, he's got a really good frame, but he's got a body that allows him to continue to get stronger, right? And build strength. And he may never be a bulky, huge, muscular guy, but he's definitely got the frame to get stronger.
Right.
And he's gotten stronger.
Yeah.
And again, confidence comes with experience.
Right.
So I think the older he gets, the more experience he has, you'll start to see him kind of blossom too.
So
he's doing well though. He's working hard and got a great attitude, great teammate.
Awesome.
So he's a good kid.
Are you, I know we can talk about guys that have already signed and you played a really big role in this signing class, you know, Kendall Brown, I know the relationship there, and Jeremy Sochan, one of your former teammates?
He wasn't one of my former teammates. He actually played where I played, and I've known him over the years.
Gotcha.
But I actually coached Jakus, so I knew him. But Coach Jakus was the one who kind of was the head man in charge of that and did a great job developing relationships with the family. But, yeah, it's called kind of all tied in with Coach Drew, myself, and Coach Jakus, and all of our staff, because we all, you know, as you know, we all kind of do things together. So.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as, have you been able to, during the season, watch much of Jeremy's?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And Langston.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we all watch together individually when we can. And
we
they're part of our family. We're excited about all those guys, man. They all got tremendous talents, and they're all a little bit different in the things that they bring. So, and most importantly, great kids.
Yeah.
Great kids. So we're excited to get those guys down.
And one of the biggest strengths of all three of them is their versatility. They can guard a lot of positions, all three of them. Right.
Cause absolutely.
Wingspan and speed and athleticism.
Yeah. They each can guard different multiple positions, and they can play multiple positions, similar to a lot of guys we have now. So they're going to fit right in. And again, it's just going to take time to blend everybody together. But as far as just talent and upside, I mean, you couldn't ask for three better kids coming in.
Right. I know comparisons that everybody loves to just like have something to hang their hat on. Mm-hmm. So I've mentioned a few in the past with all three of these guys, but Kendall Brown, would Jarrett Culver be a decent comparison for him as far as skill level and what you think he might bring to the table?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think you and I, you know, often talk about comparisons and guys that we think, and sometimes it can be tricky, but I think there's some similarities there. Kendall's very unique. He's the one thing that's underrated with Kendall is how well he can pass the ball.
Yeah.
And he loves to pass the ball. So he's very, very elite there. Obviously, he has his athleticism elite. Him and I talk about him being an all-conference defender because I think he's got the ability to do that. I think that's a fair. I mean, they definitely have similarities, those two.
And then is Jeremiah Robinson Earl for Sochan? Is that a decent?
Wow, man, you're pretty good at this, man. You're pretty good at this. Yeah. I think that's a fair comparison. Yeah. You know, I think Coach Jacobs probably could give you a little bit better feel on that. But yeah, that's not a bad comparison.
And then Langston Love, I know his, I think Schumacher mentioned Eric Gordon, kind of reminds him of Eric Gordon a little bit. Is that?
Yeah. Also two good comparisons. Yeah. Langston is really, really unique. I think he's going to be one of those guys that's just a utility guy, right?
He can
guard, he can defend, he can score.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a Swiss Army knife, and he can give you anything. And his body wise, I mean, he's already mature as far as physically. He's definitely a guy that can give you a little bit of everything.
We had a couple of Louisiana animals for a stretch there with Rico Gathers and Mark Vidal to play that enforcer role. Who do you think steps up into that role? Is there someone that you think is ready to take that on?
You know, if I had to guess from the returning guys, I think John, Everyday John is a guy that can, I think is going to expand in that next year.
Right.
I think he's going to be a guy to kind of take over in that department. Hopefully just, you know, as far as energy, blocking shots, rebounding, toughness, I think he's a guy that can help kind of set that tone. For us coming into next year. Mark's going to be a Mark. That's big shoes to fill, but I think he can be a guy that kind of helps set the tone, and the other guys could rally around that.
Right. Now, as you look at what we need to do better, I mean, this is what I've observed. You tell me if I'm out of line here, but I think we're getting there offensively. I mean, the last two games we played well offensively. And, you know, I think maybe 90% back offensively and only 70% back on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Seems like we're not communicating as well, not playing with the same tenaciousness that we might have played in some games early in the season defensively. Is that what you see? Do you think to get to that level of national championship caliber team, you know, do we need to dial it up, you know, five or six notches on the defensive end? Where do you think we need to improve?
You know, a little bit. I think at this time of year, it's a little tricky with everybody, right? Because, you know, it's a long season. It's obviously for us coming off of 20 days and going through what we went through. But the other part is, we play in, I believe, you know, the toughest, if not the top two toughest conference in the country.
Right.
So a lot of it is, you know, we beat up on each other as teams. We're going against great coaches.
Right.
Teams make adjustments.
Yeah.
So that's some of it too. So I want to give credit to guys we're playing too and other teams. But, you know, for us, you know, it still is kind of getting back and getting our rhythm back and having guys be able to play longer stretches. And, you know, I think it, you know, we're getting there on both sides of the ball. You know, but for us, it's just, you know, every day we're trying to get better. We're trying to learn from film and, you know, hopefully peaking at the right time, you know, starting tomorrow and the rest of the year, we finish it up the way we want to finish it up.
Right. And I know, you know, the casual fan will say things like, wow, so Oklahoma State's still up by two on West Virginia. I just checking that real quick.
Yeah, I'm checking it too. Wow.
Yeah, and West Virginia's got the ball. He's got a chance to make a three. He misses it. So, yeah, that's an exciting game. Big. What a competitive game considering Cade Cunningham and Isaac Likely aren't playing for Oklahoma State. Mike Boyden's done a remarkable job this year.
He's a great guy, and I think he's an unbelievable coach. And I'm glad to see people are starting to give him his recognition on that because he's done a great job with that team.
Yeah, no question. So my question was going to be just, you know, as far as how important it is to win tomorrow, you know, against Texas Tech, go undefeated in conference at home. That's one of the big goals. But then also I think there's, you know, some people are saying, oh, the Big 12 tournament, don't worry about it. I mean, our mindset's not, don't worry about it. I mean, we want to go there to win it. Right. And
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Our motto is to go 1-0.
Right.
And that's in every practice. That's in every game. We take pride in that. And it doesn't matter if we've already been crowned Big 12 champions. You know, we are trying to go 1-0 in everything we do, and we're approaching it the same way. So Texas Tech is a great team. They're a really good team. And so we're preparing for them, and we're going to, you know, do our best to hopefully be successful tomorrow. And then after Texas Tech, you know, whoever we play first in the Big 12 tournament, it's going to be the same approach. We don't change our approach with what we do.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that makes us successful is, you know, we respect everybody. But we also, you know, we stay the course, and same old boring habits is what we say. You know, we don't change our habits. We don't change our approach. And that's the way it's going to be until the season's over.
Yeah, no doubt. And just my final question is, what has the season been like for you, just from a personal growth standpoint, maybe a spiritual standpoint? I mean, what lessons have you learned as you've gone through this, you know, this just crazy year with the COVID, social unrest, all the things that we've had to deal with?
For me, I can say personally, through some of the things I've experienced, especially these last couple of weeks, it's been humbling. It's been a blessing for me to know that I work with wonderful people. Blessed to know that, you know, my family's safe, and each of the guys I work with, their family's safe, our players are safe. And also, you may have a plan, but God may have another one, and God always has his in control. So you know, just to stay humble, stay blessed, work hard, and just appreciate all the things you have, man, because, you know, all of us are in a blessed situation. So we just try to be thankful. We try to appreciate the things that God has given us. And just like I said, go 1-0 every day. That's our biggest thing.
Well, it's been a pleasure to watch you guys. I mean, it's such a, you know, it almost felt like a death for 3 weeks not being able to watch Baylor basketball. Yeah. and maybe that says something about my priorities in life, but
no, those are good priorities, man. Those are good priorities.
But we just want to say thank you for all you've done, and I appreciate our relationship over the years, and thank you for being available to do this.
Absolutely. Well, I want to say thank you to you for all your support, and thank you for your wife for allowing you to support us the way she does. And thank you to all of our fans, man. You guys have been great. I know it's been tough. I know those 3 weeks were tough, but we appreciate you guys so much. And come cheer us on tomorrow, man. We're going to need you guys' help. So,
Thanks, Jared.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge and Jared Nunes. Sikkim Bears.
Sikkim.